Your caffeine source or the energy formula that you choose to consume might just be something that you think of as a way, it's almost like the metaphorical splash of cold water in the face in the morning to get the system going, excite you, start you a little bit, wake you up, or little bit of a jog on the spot, get the heart rate up, etc. People tend to think of it as like you throw it in there, to, don't talk to me till I've had my coffee, and it's all that sort of thing. I'm not about that. Like, I do like to think of it as something that pushes me, something that gets me going, that raises me up a little bit, gets me in the mood to start my work, get my mind enrolled in what I want to be thinking about. But even so, one thing I like to think about is the taste and the experience. I want to also know that I'm not just like this jagged up. It's pretty good, but even then irritable, then a sharp down, and then oh, what do I do now? Do I wait? I feel a bit burned out. Do I ain't about all that. That's one of the reasons. Also, same with the flavour. Yeah, it might taste nice, just as sometimes it does to have a soda and a really strong, crazy, out there flavour that never existed in real life. Some fruit that is a real fruit, but this is not. This is a synthetic simulacrum of what the fruit would taste like. And really, it doesn't taste like that. We know that grape doesn't taste like that, but we know that that's the grape flavour in the soda that was in the Kool-Aid that we all drank when we were a kid. And so that is grape, even so. And then there's the drinks that, like the raspberry in Europe, if you know, and some of the sodas, is always blue to differentiate from the strawberry, which is red, but surely raspberries are red too, just like more of a crimson red. So one of the reasons why I often think about this when it comes to things like GamerSops, which by the way has a bunch of whole range of flavors, each of them I would say has a whole sort of journey you go on when you actually take the flavor in. The actual experience of GamerSups, which is uniform across the board, is it's like the slight rise up. There's not the crazy euphoric, it's like a nice little kick, slight rise up. You go to your where you want to be, you plateau for quite a while, it feels like hours, and then you just gradually start to, oh, okay, that's it, that's going away now, and it tapers off, and you feel normal after that. You don't feel burned out, you don't feel, oh, what's going on? So I actually remember one of the things that made me think of this was that movie in 2006, Perfume, Story of a Murderer, where this guy had this crazy olfactory sense. And as a result, in the movie, you essentially learn like how perfume is made and what it's all about and what the skills is and the notes and like whether something's at the beginning of the smell or something at the end and who could pick it out and all that. And I started thinking about the drinks in this particular way. And so if you want to try out GamerSups, it's 10% off with the code Thorin, Thorin at gamersups.gg. Now, that was an intro with a little bit of nuance, right? I really tried to explore something there. I didn't just take a hard take straight out the gate. There wasn't a lot of crazy hot takes all over the place. Nothing there I'd have to retract later. I think, nah, what was I really thinking? Just in the moment, got a bit too hyped, didn't I? Told you exactly what I think about GamerSups. Speaking of which, when it comes to fan culture, expressed online especially, it's always going to just basically the lowest common denominator, isn't it? It's basically just average and aggregate across everyone, and then you get sort of almost like a crowdsourced or groupthink opinion, and that tends to dominate. New people encounter it, that's what they tend to think. Oh, it's just a consensus. Oh, there must be something to that then. It pushes in interviews. Players literally either battle against it or agree with it, or just think, oh, there's nonsense, play, they know nothing. Or like every now and then, if you're lucky, oh, that analyst maybe does know something. That's a bit more rare, sure. But let's be real, of course it is. That's how mobs work. That's why the mob is always stupider than some of the individual people in the mob. That's how popularity contests work. And when you have things like upvote, downvote, or like, or well, I guess post ratio or say L or something, you're also going to get this kind of extreme polarizing behavior. You're going to get a simple binary of this or that. It can't be anything between or some sort of a spectrum. But the problem is, if you want to actually explore more about CSGO thinking, who these players are, how they're interacting, what their careers are, more than just simple narratives, you're going to need a much more complicated and I would say sophisticated approach, maybe even an enlightened approach, because I think the absence of nuance kills CSGO discussion among so many fans. So many conversations that could be so brilliant and have so many different ways that people could disagree, agree, explore something, become so simplistic. And it's exactly because people won't introduce nuance. They have to think something really strongly off limited information this exact way. And even then, doesn't matter what comes their way after that, they won't start to change that, or they'll change it entirely and the whole thing was nonsense and the person was never good, it was never the case. Classically, they retcon players like this. A player like MSL now is never a good in-game leader. But I tell you what, if you go back once upon a time, people would have said he was like the fifth best in-game leader in the world and he should have better players. You have a player in the modern day, an obvious example would be, let me think, Kenny S is a pretty good one. People who never saw Kenny S in 2015, they'd be like, he's always up and down. Like, it's like, he's one of the greatest players of all time. His actual longevity is pretty good. Yeah, he has ups and downs. Mate, you should think some of his downs. The joke, it's like the Aaron Rodgers line. Some of his downs would be like a really good year for like a medium tier one Harper. That would be like the career year that they ever had, that they'd be loving life. So I think you've got to start looking at this. Now, sure, that's because this media, these discussions, they're about drama, they're about entertainment, they're about the human element. There's the whole water cooler shit, right? Just a bunch of plebs sit around. Here's what I think. What do you think? Can you believe they lost it that way? Yeah, I know the team needs to change. Well, I don't know. We'll see after the next game. Well, I guess maybe if they really bring in Pronax, it could change things. Like just talking out your ass, saying things you read on websites. But you know what? I made a video about this a while ago. It was in League of Legends, but it's just about essentially the role of Reddit and Twitter and social media. And essentially, I make the analogy. It's like the virtual barbershop. You've got to have those places for fans to discuss. You've got to have those places where people excite each other's passions, where they can exchange opinions and ideas, etc. It's just that at the moment, that just becomes incredibly simplistic. And even some of the great narratives and points being made on talk shows, they penetrate a little bit, but they have a hard time getting further because people just aren't able to filter them. People just take them, and it's like, unless they hit this one confirmation bias for everything they already thought, then they're dismissed, or people just don't want to hear it, or they just question, are you lying? Are you making that up? Well, what about this? Oh, so you think, you just get into that world, don't you? So where's the deep discussion? Yeah, we know hot takes exist. Hot takes will always exist because it's about how fast you respond. You haven't the time to formulate a complex argument or insightful set of points at that point in time. But yeah, where is the people who are trying to tease apart these narratives into more meaningful threads and substantive? Let me see, what would you call them, like subcategories and smaller areas and tie it into other things and reference things beyond me doing a video like this, of course. Now, obviously, I have played a role in saying a lot of these narratives that people now, they become runaway trains, they become Frankenstein monsters, that I can't, Frankenstein's monster type scenarios, I can't control them anymore. And they're just out there in the world ravaging people. And sometimes even the people I made the narratives about, even when I don't agree with them and never intended them for that purpose. That's because what happens is there's a basic narrative set in the game just from a normal set of, did you win, did you lose, who are you, do people like you, what's the odd normal interview like. They're not tense happenings. I watch them, and I've studied the narrative aspect for so many years of my career, decades, been watching sports in that way. I try to draw comparisons, to characterise them, to frame them in a certain way, to set up some of the mythological elements behind their story, to see their career arc and trajectory. And then I take behind the scenes info and things that I've talked to people about, things I've talked on camera about, on talk shows and interviews, and I start crafting the narratives. I take the narratives, I start to change them. The problem is sometimes when I get too successful, here's how I know when I've been too successful, it gets totally out of control, becomes ubiquitous, morphs into something else, and at that point no one even knows I came up with the original or tweaked the original or directed the original. And actually now I'm the one who's making a video like this, sometimes directly battling exactly that narrative. And the joke is like, wait a minute, if you scroll it all the way back, like part of that was my narrative, it's just I never did it the way that they did it because they sucked all the nuance out of it. Whereas I had all these complex aspects that had to sit together and fit together in a very specific way. Otherwise, you don't have anything. But in this particular case, people just take the one thing they want, they go run with it, and this guy's toxic, this guy will never win, this guy's a loser, this guy's like the worst teammate, this guy's the greatest guy ever and can't ever do any wrong. This guy was a brilliant rookie, therefore, of course he's going to be a great vet. There's a million things, it just goes too far. Like, I'll give you a classic example, I'll get to it in this. Most people would say, I'm a Nico hater, or I'm the one who's like driven, or I've twisted Nico's narrative, or I've turned the fans against him, or I've like incited or set certain rumours out there that aren't true and they're just false, and I've riled up all this crowd. And yet what's hilarious is how many times when people are out on Nico, when Nico's form's dropping, when his teams are having problems, do I suddenly end up being the Nico defender, or even in the past KNG defender, if we're talking about just talent and beyond the stupid things someone can do with their career. I mean, that would really beg his belief, doesn't it? Funny enough, probably end up being a beggar if he keeps fucking around like this. Still get more money on a regular basis than fucking no plan all the way. Now, some examples of nuance that is missing in big narratives. I've got three big ones for you here, and they really show how the narratives develop and they get out of control and all the nuance gets taken out. So let's think about Simple in his early days. a prodigiously talented young player, already a hybrid right out the gate, fantastic deagle, good rifle. He's hitting land, running, just wrecking people, looking super sick. He's obviously on lesser teams, even though he's with veterans, and you can tell he should probably be on a team like Na'Vi. But the problem is, what starts to happen? Well, we hear these stories leaking out from how he gets kicked and how his teammates talk about him in interviews, that he's a toxic piece of shit, he's their worst teammate. And then that becomes a corollary, that people who believe you have to be a good guy and the best teammate to be the best start going, that's why he'll never be in the best team. Oh yes, people said these things, that's why he'll never be the best player in the world. Oh, that's right. And then he develops in all regards to some degree. We can't all say, but we can speculate, of course. Now, he's amazing. Not toxic in any sense. He's hashtag new simple. He cheers for Astralis. He says nice tweets about people. Someone else gets voted player of the year. Well, I will agree with it in that way. Whether or not behind the scenes he agrees or not, or whether he thinks that there's a whole bunch of fuckery going on. No, it would be the right thing to say. And so everyone's like, oh, wow, he's so mature now. What a great guy. Yes. Oh, almost indistinguishable from the old guy, isn't he? As though, by the way, putting 1 billion hours into a video game, when you were someone who you're saying is toxic piece of shit, worst team ever, you put 1 billion hours in a video game, not even that much time to do other things. At the end of it, you're acting like he went into a cave in the mountains of Tibet for 10 years, doing like some, what's it like, Dorjan, like meditation. And then he came out like, I am an enlightened being. I will no longer allow suffering in the world everywhere. Oh, 5K. Oh, heal this man. Oh, yeah, you are now blocked. Like, what? Piece of shit. I will expose you. Like, he comes out, he's just this Maitreya, this world leader, is he? Well, guess what? If you see this year, what do you know? He's back to having tantrums and outbursts and having a frivolous manner of speaking about his team's ups and downs. So when they're on the up, well, of course we're number one, of course we should be, and of course we're the best, and everything's going to work out. And then they lose the final. Well, you know, there was always tactical problems in the practice. I'd be living out of a suitcase. I don't know what's going on. Maybe I'll take a break. And you know, my teammates still need to learn. There's still so many things we're doing wrong in the game. And then the next tournament start doing well again. Well, it's brilliant being in this team. It's so good. And quite frankly, I think we're going to go to the top spot. If anyone can stop us, I mean, it's only ourselves. It's the point here is, it's both and neither, guys. He is, in some ways, toxic. I hate that term in general, but you know what I mean. I like to say corrosive, because it's actually a cleverer, more nuanced and insightful way to say toxic, but without all the fucked up, stigmatized associations in it, especially because you're just going to say the guy you played one game with and got a little bit mad at you is toxic. Then of the idea, like, he's the worst teammate. Oh, he was absolutely at one point, in some ways, one of the absolute worst teammates. But I'll tell you what he could do for you in the game, in some ways, means he can't have been the absolute worst teammate. The worst teammate would be someone who's a toxic piece of shit, terrible person, and he's really bad at the game, or he utterly ruins your game. This guy had a phenomenal game, and you could follow him up, and you could build all sorts. There's a reason why every team can be built around him and still be really good. He's actually, in some senses, a fantastic teammate. In fact, think of the stress he takes off your shoulders. Think of the scrutiny he takes off your shoulders just by being in the team. And then also, yes, he has developed as a human. He's had relationships. He's had girlfriends. He's obviously got that whole thing where I think he's been involved with his family businesses. His family's been involved with Na'Vi to some capacity over the years, and some of his relationships have. He's obviously built out his fan base. He's learned how to work a crowd. There's so many aspects. Yeah, he's improved. That doesn't mean he doesn't have any of that still in there. Doesn't mean that wasn't still the same person. It doesn't mean there's not this like different type of a simple, depending on what day it is and what circumstances, who he's talking to, what he's playing, what just happened to him, what's going on in his head, what's going on in his country, what's going on in his life, what's going on in his mind, what's going on with what he thinks his career should be, what Counter-Strike. There's a million factors at play here, right? But people want a one-line answer. Is he a piece of shit? Is he a good teammate? Is he actually the GOAT? Then how about that one? I saw this one come up recently. So because he failed by his standards in the major final, and previously had two similar ones. Obviously, ESL One Claude 2016, the Face It Major 2018. Then he failed in the Cologne Best of Five final, right? People start to say, like, nah, this just shows maybe he isn't the GOAT, or maybe when it matters most, he can't win. Or should this make us really question how good he is that he failed in 3 out of 4 major finals? Now, the problem with that is, but if you look at his raw body of work, like all the matches in his career, in fact, even most of these majors outside of the final, even sometimes on a map in the final or in Cologne on a map or two, his body of work murders anyone else's. Like, it ain't even close. There's very rarely in games I say someone's that far ahead. Other people have the resume in terms of team accomplishments, but in terms of like what his individual level play was year on year. No one's even vaguely close, in my opinion. I actually think Nico's probably the closest over their entire careers. But even then, I even think Nico lacked a little bit sometimes, that like an extra special gear that only Simple could go to, and only Simple seemingly could go to at will, minus in three matches in his career, seemingly four, if you want to count Cologne as well. And by the way, if we're talking about Cologne now, and we're saying Katowice's and Cologne's that were majors count, what about all the Katowice's and Cologne's he's been a monster at? The ones he won and the ones he didn't win. He's had some phenomenal ones. And also, spoiler, when you're going to go in the finals, you know, maybe he should carry when it matters. Look at his stats over all the majors. Look how bonkers this guy is from day one until now. Like, this is the greatest player that will probably ever touch any version of Counter-Strike ever. Like, I didn't say that about Neo. Like, oh, no, he'll ever come along. No, I used to think, like, wow, he's the greatest I've ever seen, and nobody can probably match this longevity. But that's also because I didn't know if there'd be 10 years more, 5 years more. Now that I know Counter-Strike might last another 10 years, it might be one franchise that keeps going year and year and year, maybe like Call of Duty. I don't think there will ever be anyone who will actually be able to do what Simple did. Everyone will go, oh, I was beat. No, that's also because they dumbed down the offensive rules in sports. As long as they don't do that in Counter-Strike, I actually think this guy could really sit at number one even in 10, 20 years. It could be incredible in that particular way. And so the key thing for me is this. Think how tiny the sample size we're making this ultimate judgment that attenuates all the rest of the body of player Simple's career. Three matches. One was in 2016 when his team had no business getting there. One was in 2018 when the bracket is just merely what got them there. And they were playing the team that in theory was nearly always getting it over them. Even though, yeah, they've been that upset when Zeus dropped the 30 bomb. And then more recently, he just won the previous major. This is not that long, a few months after all the things going on in his life. Obviously, the team itself was having issues. And then right after the tournament, what happened to the in-game leader? Got kicked out of the team. Like, that's not exactly just... it's not like he was at his absolute best there, is it? It's not like everything was awesome for him. So we're talking about 3 days. Ever. And people are using that to... Now, that doesn't mean they don't count. It doesn't mean they're not. That's the point. We want nuance. It's all of it. We want to try and consider all of it. Not just kick everything out and look for a couple of simplistic patterns. We want to look at it all and try and take as much as we can in and make a really interesting take that allows for all these different things, but it's informed by all the key aspects. And then let's just be real. Let's look at other people's careers. You know, when people won a major, go have a look how Shox played in the final of the major he won. Go have a look how GetRight played in some of the major finals he was in, or Forest, how they played in some of the major finals they were in. Go and look at how Guardian played in some finals. Some finals is amazing. Yeah, some finals is all right. You'd have to go and look. That's the point. You're thinking, well, they were in a major or they were in a final. Well, how did they play, though? Go and look at the other greats that you're contrasting with. You've got, like, listen, it's all well and good. Cold Zero was a monster in those two major finals. That was 1 year of his career ever, and he never made another major final. Well, guess what? A brilliant way to never fail a major final is never make a fucking major. I'll tell you what would avert Cold Zero. What if he'd made a major final at 2014 when he wasn't ready at all? Like Simple, maybe. See, that's the point. I'm introducing more nuance. I'm looking for more interesting details. I'm making a story that's getting... Now I'm even tying in other aspects that's becoming interesting, right? So let's keep going. How about then we go to former teammate of Elige? Of course, former teammate Elige, who's the teammate of Simple's in Team Liquid. His narrative coming out the gate was, super nice guy, just doing trash talk as far as I can tell, and he does look like a nerd, honor roll student, let's be real. Really smart, again, mainly looks. The joke is he could have just had really good glasses, like horn-rimmed glasses, and a fucking pocket protector. They'd say the same thing, presumably. And then, like, former StarCraft 2 pro, like, I laugh at that, by the way. One day I'll probably make a video exploring that. Like, no. Not in the meaningful sense, as in, if I told you someone who's only like gone like, you know, bit like into qualifiers or like played like the worst DreamHack Open ever and placed 16th, would that guy be like a Counter-Strike pro in the meaningful sense? No, not really, right? He'd be a semi-pro, if anything, maybe even an amateur, depending on the status of his team or what's going on in his career, or just a nobody, let's be real. So when you came about in 2016, that... Simple stopped his trial and got sold to Na'Vi or went to Na'Vi somehow. I revealed the story because I knew a load of people within Team Liquid and I had all this info. I even had like scrim recordings of the audio and stuff. I knew that they were having massive problems in the team. But after that insane performance at ESL One Cologne, one of the craziest young man performances I've ever seen in esports, I remember thinking, like, you'd be a moron if you don't try to keep him. You've got to try and keep this guy, not least because you're going to send him to Na'Vi. And I remember thinking, one day they're going to be the best in the world, man. One day they're going to probably win a major. And if you haven't in the meantime, you're just going to go, I'm the man who sold the world, aren't I? I'm the man who sold fucking Messi or Ronaldo. I'm the guy who said, you know what, I'll trade Michael Jordan to another team and rebuild around someone else because one of his teammates doesn't like him, two of his teammates don't like him, whatever it is. So I told the story that Leash was basically the ringleader on this. That when the others either were in the middle and they were like, yeah, maybe I don't like him, but he is fucking good. Let's see what everyone else says. Or one or two people were like, yeah, I want to keep him. Let's just go for it again. Elise essentially had the balls to just be like, nah, I don't want him. And you know what? Him or me. Like, if you want to keep him, get rid of me then. Let me go elsewhere. But if you want to keep me, build around me. And I told this story once that the gist goes, they sort of said, like, but it's simple. He's like a mega carry. Who's gonna carry the team like that if he's not here? And Elise basically said, I will. Me. Now, what's cool about that is, obviously, it's implying something about Elise as well, right? Like, in this case, you might say, oh, it's just making a judgment on simply. He's not a great guy. So I tried to explain to people, it's not as simple as just toxic, and that's why he wants rid of him. Some of the others were like that, but they were in the middle, right? It's that if you're Elise, you can kind of, in your own way, be toxic or a bad teammate, but in a different sense. If you're a simple and just act out, you've heard this rant before, then obviously, it's just obvious to anyone else. So, wow, he's probably wilding. Like, he seems a bit out of control, doesn't seem to respect people. But if you just passively and silently fuck with people, you play mind games, you just stop talking a little bit, or you talk less when they're annoying you. Or, you know the way a passive-aggressive way in a convo would be? You address everyone else, but you don't address the guy that's annoying you. And even if he keeps talking to you, you just address the others, keep it on going. And then maybe you even have a little convo with him, it doesn't go well. And you're like, oh, well, we'll agree to disagree. And then the joke is, like, he then, like, starts going as PC, and then you open, like, a Steam box, and he's looking over. But then here's the weird thing. He looks down the line, and another odd team that's got a similar Steam box up, and as he at center, the text going there, you now know he's talking one-on-one shit behind your back. Like, what's going on? So this is sort of the kind of person I was portraying him as, because this is actually, quite frankly, based on the information I have and some of the things I've seen and heard, this is who he was at the time. And so if you don't know, it's how I always used to contrast simple with forgiving and reckless with Elise in this regard, in terms of how reckless would do it in League of Legends. Well, actually, reckless himself had some tantrums and all sorts of crazy shit later on. So what's funny is, I actually like the story about him going, like, I'll carry instead. I even built it into why he would become the best NA player. And was I right on that one? Did I call it? I think I did. Other people would have said Nitro or Naf or Taric or Skadoodle or Shrek. That's right. You said all that. Stewie. Loads of people said Stewie. But you know what? Your boy nailed it again. Well, you're welcome. Now, to combat the idea that it was only simple is why I put that out there. And also, I thought, you know what, if all this shit's out there, and a lot of it was leaked by these guys, it's like, you know what, fuck you. I'm going to put some of your shit out there. Let's just, fair's fair, right? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Now, in this particular case, though, you also have to consider certain things, like, he has stayed in Team Liquid his whole career. He's been a fantastic player for them. He's been a very consistent player for him. I actually think he's a bit like the NA device. Like, yeah, the actual peak years aren't like bonkers, like an equal simple, but man, the consistency. You can just rely on this guy, and his game is super reliable and consistent, kind of like a device, but more of a rifle device. And you can just build around that. And you know what pieces you want to get with him if you want to be successful. You know he's going to do his job. Tell you what, that can't be someone who's just a terrible teammate. That can't be someone who's just a tyrant and an asshole and doesn't care and shits on people and thinks he's just the best. They're all trying. It can't be. It can't be any of those things. It can be a bit of them. And sometimes it can be one. And other times it won't be. Like, I would say, when someone like Elise is around, think about the difficulty of being the superstar talent and at times having the team let you down, or then all living up to your level, or maybe they don't practice as hard as you, or don't study the game like you do, or they agree with the IGL or the coach because they don't give a fuck. They want to get out this demo review, but you actually want to discuss this and actually debate and say, oh, I don't think we should do it that way, and I've come up with this thing in this game, and that could get to you. That could make you annoyed. That could make you over time resent that person. That could be the small straws, and then eventually one comes along. It's just a small argument. It breaks the camel's back. It's like, you know what? I'm done. And then privately, you get him kicked out of the team, you push him out, or you sort of poison the well to some of the others. And yeah, that can happen. It's totally understandable. If you knew how many massive sports stars do stuff like that, which are considered great guys, if you know how many other esports people are having these dramas inside teams, even the best teams in the world, sometimes the best team in the world. What's funny is, people don't necessarily get this, but there are plenty of other, especially NA pros, who don't want criticism and want to say in what happens in the team and who joins and who doesn't. But then all at the same time, if it goes badly, want to either leave the team or not take any responsibility for that. One thing I appreciate about Leash is he sort of stands behind what he thinks and says. He stays in Team Liquid. He doesn't fuck the team up and then just leave, like certain people do. And then also, on top of that, he puts out the level of play. And he tries again, and he tries to build the new lineups and then go to the top of them. Whether you agree with the players or not, that's a separate issue. I mean, spoiler. Like, if you only knew what a shitfest N is for loads of the things I'm talking about, they're not doing it passively. Some of those guys are up in your face, or they are shouting you down, or they are just using status of, like, in fact, you're the one lost on the pecking order, the totem pole. You just won't even get a say. So then we come to, obviously, the big dog. Dedicated to big egos. Nico, of course. Now, Nico's career story is quite interesting. He started as a super rookie. Who the fuck is this guy from Bosnia when he was standing in for Mouse, and then eventually played for them late 2015 under God B. Then in early 2016, basically becomes, I think, eye test wise, a top three player in the world at least. I had him actually as the best player in the world around the summer. I thought it was just fucking unbelievable what he could do individually. But then you had the whole shut up thing at E-League. So then, oh, is he toxic? Also, let's be real, he looked unhappy. Like, if you ask me, he was overweight at the time. The team was not anywhere close good enough for him. Massive community scrutiny, people blaming him if they lost, and stupid shit like, if you got them to, like simple, if you got them to a quarters or a semi, and then he had just an average game, maybe the opponent even completely shut him down and didn't go to his site or completely fucked with him, then people would be like, nah, see, can't be the best, not good enough. He's just a player who's good in group stages. Do it in the playoffs. Like, and they contrasted him, what, with all the other players? No, we just recalled Zera. Called Zera's better, therefore Nico isn't that good. That was the logic. By the way, you know that I was saying in 2016, not in terms of like in majors or in terms of like how they would perform or their career or their complete player, but if you're talking about who was the better player, and I thought Nico was better than Cold Zero. How's that take aged? Phenomenally, isn't it? Phenomenally. So, okay, it's not so simple with Nico. Believe me, it's not so simple. By the way, everyone's going to find out that if they ever work with Nico. He's actually much more in the elite camp than the simple camp, if you don't know. That's one of the interesting things. People think because of the shot up thing, he's more like simple. No, I would say Elysian and Nico are more the guys where, like, they do it behind the scenes. They're clever enough to always have the tracker come directly back to them, the trail, as it were. They also get other people sometimes to do things. They will just influence thinking and the team and what might be done. And they'll certainly put their opinions out there. And then the opinions might be taken very seriously because they're the star and the owner wants to build around them. The coach wants to make them happy, but they might not say that you want to do that. Oh, there's so much going on here. And then quite frankly, think about when they're on the stage. Simple's got way better at this, but these two, mate, when these two lose rounds themselves or get some bullshit headshot from the opponent, or sometimes a teammate messes up an easy thing, these guys, some of the whining, some of the complaining, some of the facial expressions they pull after losses and team losses, similarly, by the way, mate. Like, these guys are almost as bad as, like, Lakers Pau Gasol, where, you know, like, he would actually, like, hit the guy, but it'd be like a somewhat like a ticky-tack foul. Like, oh, come on, man. This is almost like playoff basketball. Let it go. He would be like, oh, please, 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 to the guy. And you'd be like, my God, you're fucking pathetic, mate. What's wrong with you? Have some fucking decorum. My God. They do that sometimes. Some of the Elise ones where he looks like he's watching a monitor where on the monitor, like, someone's going to do something really evil to someone he loves. And then Nico's obviously the one where it's like, he dies. And then his teammate, like, fucks up. And you're just looking around like, really, my G? We sort of want you to be a captain. You know what I mean? These guys both are on that ship. But you know what? It's not as simple as that still. Because you know what? Then there's the whole thing. The Carrigan angle, of course. The dreaded Carrigan angle, which has become hella relevant now. Because guess what? Carrigan's still amazing. He's even better than ever now, if anything. He even got the fucking major. And were worse players than Nico. And who was his best player in theory in the team? It was probably actually Twist at that time. But in theory, and Rain obviously at that major. But in theory, it's supposed to be Rops, right? Who's kind of built his game to be a little bit like Nico. And even Bean and Mouse. And now FaZe have done similar roles, right? So it's all just too perfect, isn't it? Obviously, Nico obviously fucked up. He's an idiot. And didn't know anything about the game. Just know, no, it's not that simple again. Because the logic is, right, he just kicks IGLs. He's just an egotist who only wants his friends and a great player signed. A bit. Again, it's not one or the other. A bit. But I actually don't think, and this is a key thing, especially in these latter years, I don't think it's consciously at all. I actually am going to become the Nico defender again. That's right. When Thorin stops flaming Nico's big ego, and then he hears everyone talking shit about him, goes into a phone booth, comes out, he's got that bread head on his outfit. It's Mr. Nico Defender, innit? Now, I think Nico really wants to win. No, not just like says he wants to win, not like, oh, you know, yeah, he needs to get that championship. No, he really wants to win. He really, and has for years and years and years and years. It's just he has his own way of how he thinks he can manifest that happening, and his own philosophy on Counter-Strike, his own philosophy on what teammates to have and how to recruit and who to kick and how to practice and what a good player constitutes and what a player who isn't that good sometimes is and what a good at IGL and what a bad IGL is. He has a very different philosophy to me, and I disagree with him in many regards, but I genuinely believe he is very motivated and desires massively to win in a way that I think actually is comparable to someone like Simple even. And what Simple went through. And that's one of the reasons I think this guy has been able to have this in phenomenal game. Look at his game and then think that he's supposed to be this just diva asshole who doesn't care about anything. The consistency, year after year after year. Doesn't matter the teammates, the longevity. Like you look at when he began, when it's gotten to now, you look at the massive impact he can have at different times, online, offline, online, in any way. So he actually even cannot, by the way, it's just I don't want him to be the primary op because he's so good at the rifle. His ability to super carry with bad or underperforming teammates or mediocre or average IGLs. This shows you this is a guy who continues to keep himself in top shape, continues to work on his game, continues to study the game, to try to work with his teammates, to figure out how to use his teammates better. It's just he has a different philosophy than me on how he recruits teammates or whatever, or what influence he has on the team or how he influences the team. Now, let's be real. He has, I think, had an enormous amount of influence on teammates. It's just I think he's smarter than other people in some ways. Because as I say, if not, then he's the unluckiest guy of all time because it does seem like everyone's trying to read his mind and then get him the sorts of players he would like and kick out the ones he doesn't like. And at the end, what sort of happens? Don't worry. Don't worry. I'll one day do a little sequel. I've got a sequel coming in me one day. These are complex individuals. They've had complicated lives and careers. The balances and dynamics within teams are far different in private than they appear in public. And even when you know some of the private info, you then find out later, well, this guy wasn't quite telling the truth. He said, well, this guy overplayed that part. You find out all sorts of things. It's like Rashomon. Everyone's version is different. But you're hearing one version, or you're hearing one version at a certain time, and you're getting out the hammer and chisel, and you're carving it into stone. That's it. That's who he is. That's what he said back then. That's all he'll ever be. Never change. That's it. Or if it changes later, get that. It was nothing, worthless. He was never that. He was always a liar. Whoever said it was a fucking piece of shit liar. No, it's not as simple as that. You only got a glimpse. You only got a snapshot. There's more going on than you can guess or you can realize, or I can guess and I can realize sometimes. And I sometimes have the craziest ones. Like I've said that story before with the Nico one. I essentially had everyone. I always have to put the word essentially there because it does so much heavy lifting. Intentionally, that it could mean everyone but Nico, or it could mean everyone but Nico, one or two people. It could mean all sorts. It could mean either the old people or I don't have the. It could mean all sorts of things. And by the way, I only say that for Nico because here's the thing, homie. You'll never trace me and get my sources. I'm really careful how I protect them. I find ways to like reinterpret the things they say in a way that isn't how they would say it, so you can never guess. So don't worry, you'll never catch me. That's why, by the way, I always maintain my source networks in all the teams these people go to. I have a phenomenal way of keeping track of these little guys. I am a fly on the wall in some ways, sometimes literally, like I said, with voice comms and other things. So I think a classic example of this happened with me and with one of the people that if I had to pick out my Counter-Strike friends or people I've been very close to, this has got to be one of the top guys, right? It's my boy, Get Right. If you don't know me, Get Right, we're in SK Gaming at the end of 1.6. He's even the guy when Fnatic people didn't used to do interviews with many other people. He was even doing interviews with me back then when the Fnatic people didn't even like me. He just joined Fnatic in 2009. Then he was a guy years later, he would want to do the long interviews with me. Not the ones like, oh, maybe another time. Or like, nah, if we're in this match, I might. Players used to love to do that. Oh, if we're in this match that we're not supposed to win, then yeah, I'll do the interview. It's like, well, I could see what game you're playing there, homie. So this is the guy I wanted to. When you saw how he did that interview at the end of his career, he was fucking loving it. But back in 2015, in DreamHack Summer, right in the heyday of when I was at my peak of banter on the desk, fully unleashed, there was obviously that classic clip in there where he basically just disses me. And people to this day are like, see, nobody in Counter-Strike will ever respect you. And Get Right never did. But the joke is, even at the time, he's a friend of mine. He's someone who's always respected me. It was triggered. No, don't worry. Some of that was genuine, but that was frustration. A little bit of it was he wanted to trash talk back, right? Because I'm trash talking them when they're winning or losing the game. And so it's not as simple as just looking at that clip and thinking, you know, me, Get Right, or me and Get Right's relationship, is it? Otherwise, how could that interview exist later? So I would just say there's a classic line I've seen thrown around recently. I think this is what we've got to do, because it is fun to have hot takes. It is fun to have strong opinions. It is fun to think you know someone or set a storyline place. It's the line, strong opinions held loosely. Have the strong opinions, but then as soon as you encounter more information, it's not that you abandon the opinion, but you're willing to change it. You're willing to adapt it. You're willing to integrate something else into it or reconsider some element of it, because there's so much nuance with these players. That even when it's a narrative I help build up, if it gets out of control, I'll also be the one to come along. I will kill my monster.
Hey, it's simple, you're watching Torrent channel. Shut the fuck up, you fucking bitch.